God in John chapter 3. Would you read with me? I'm sorry, 4, not 3, 4. Would you read with me in verse 19? The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And this is true. In other words, the place of worship is not in Jerusalem anymore. Verse 22, You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, the salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, to worship God in truth could be no other way than in his word. Now, in other words, there is no other truth that I know anything about in the world today. In other words, I know that the word of God is true from the beginning. I know that it is God's truth and whatever. And if you worshiped God in truth, then you'd have to worship God based upon that book wherein that truth is from Genesis to Revelation. Now, we've been talking about this for several weeks now, and we've discussed that worship has to do with bowing down. We saw back there in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, that to worship God is to bow down before him. We saw that Joshua, as he crossed the river there, and he met the captain of the Lord's host, he in effect said, Are you for us or against him? And he said, I am the captain of the Lord's host. And old Joshua fell on his face at the man's feet and worshiped God. So worship means to bow down. Worship means to submit yourself. It means to, as it were, prone yourself out and say, I'm at thy mercy. That is absolute positive worship as it is. We found out that the word worship has to do with service. We found that Paul said, a reference to the Lord, he said, whom I serve with my spirit. But in another place, he said, worship with my spirit. Then to worship God is to serve God, and those that serve God in reality are those that worship God. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about another thought along this line, and that has to do with the word submission. Worshiping God, then, has to do with total submission. In other words, if you worship God in the sense that the words that are given us in the King James Bible, then you are submitted to God. And if you're not submitted to God, then you're not worshiping God. Now, the word submission is two words put together. In the Greek text, and they are H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. This word here means under. The word tasso has to do with, in fact, there's several different uses of it. I'm giving just a moment. But in other words, according to it, in other words, whatever else there is with this word here, it would prefix this one would be to bring under. In other words, to put yourself under in that sense of whatever that is. In fact, the word in Luke chapter 7, verse 8, the quotation is that this man is a man set under authority. In other words, the word then is to set. He was a man set under authority. He's not a man that sat down. He was a man that some dignitary sat under authority. He was given a position under someone else's authority. That's that word, submission. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, it's addict. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. In Acts 15, verse 2, it's determined. They determined that Paul should go to Jerusalem. In Romans 13, verse 1, the powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, it's to set, it's to ordain under, it's to determine under, it's to bring under whatever that authority is. In other words, to worship God then is to set yourself under his authority. To worship God is to ordain yourself as a subject unto Almighty God. It's to appoint yourself or determine yourself under His mercy and under His power and so forth. It carries the idea of complete trust and dependence. In other words, then, if you are totally and completely submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're totally and completely trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, an individual who is trying to save themselves by their good works are not trusting Christ to do what they're trying to do by their works. They've not submitted themselves to the cross. Now, there's several things that I want to point out here. In other words, only those who submit to the salvation by grace through faith really worship God. Now, you think about that. We're talking about worship, folks. What is worship? Well, only those that submit themselves to salvation by grace through faith worship God. Turn in your Bible, please, and look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage has to do with the law. Come to verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. In other words, you can't completely submit yourself to the grace of Almighty God while you get up and walk in the law. You can't have it both ways. In other words, if you're submitted to grace, if you're submitted to mercy, then you are not trying to gain that by what you're doing. In other words, those who are submitted to salvation by grace through faith are those that worship God. Otherwise, no way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says the law is weak through the flesh. Now, you think with me as we go along here. The law is weak through the flesh. Romans 3:19 says, by the law, all the world is guilty before God. In Romans 3:20, it said, no flesh shall be justified by the law. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. Then if you're trying to work for your salvation, you are cursing yourself. See? In other words, your flesh is weak, and it can't keep the law. You are guilty before God by the law and cursed by the law. Then if you're trying to work for your salvation, there ain't any other reason to do that but pride. Can you think? Hey, there can't be any other reason. Only those that believe in salvation by grace through faith really worship God. It has to do with a place of submission. In a man trying to save himself by works, obviously does not believe in salvation by grace. Number two, only those who submit to the Word worship God. The passage which we just read in John chapter 4 bear out this truth, but look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now he said in John chapter 4, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, then the Scripture is written by inspiration of God. Now, they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Those that worship God then submit to the Word of God. Why? The Word of God is the words of the Holy Spirit. God is a Spirit. Turn, please, to 2 Peter. And look in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well then, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Word of God is written by the Spirit of God. Then I cannot worship God outside of that which is revealed in His Word. it's a sheer impossibility for me to know anything about God other than that which God gave to me in the Word of God. Therefore, if you're not willing to submit to the Word of God, then you're not worshiping God. I've had people, in fact, one time I worked with a man up in Selma, Alabama, and this man was in a Baptist church there, and in talking to this man back and forth, he told me about his salvation, whatever, and so we got down to the real nitty-gritty, and I showed him that he could not serve God while a member of that Baptist church, and he didn't believe that. And one day, over and over now, I'd given him 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What fellowship of the righteous and unrighteous on and come out from among them? And he said, if God ever shows that to me, if he ever tells me that, I'll get out. And one day we're standing in the middle of the place where we worked there. And I said, if the Lord stood where I'm standing right now and told you to come out of that assembly where you are, what would you do? He said, I'd get out immediately. I said, do you believe this Bible is God's holy word? He said, I believe every word of it. I said, then if you believe this Bible is his holy word, then you believe the words in this Bible are spoken to you by him. He said, yeah. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, start reading verse 14, home and resign from the church. Just like that. Now, you can't submit to God while denying his word. It's a sheer impossibility. It is God's word. turn, please, to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, and notice in verse 44, John 5:44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Therefore, if you don't believe a portion of this Bible, you don't believe any of this Bible. You see, those people who say, you tell them, Paul said, be your followers of me, and they say, I believe in following Jesus myself. What they're saying is that the words of Paul in Romans through Philemon are a lower grade and not as authoritative as those of in the red letter editions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so I believe in following that. Well, they're lying. They're lying. In most cases, they don't even know what they're saying. A man said that to me in a Bible class a week ago, and I just decided, I don't know, I just felt like, what's the use? And I didn't even pursue it any further. But I could have proven right there that that man didn't believe what he said. When people say they believe in following Jesus, they don't know what Jesus Christ said to do in the first place. In other words, they believe in walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Footsteps of Jesus. They've heard that song many years. And they're walking in his footsteps. No way, folks. You can't worship God without submitting to the Word of God. Number three, those who refuse to submit to 2 Timothy 2.15 do not worship God. In fact, they cannot. 2 Timothy 2.15 said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, we come back here, and here is, in 1500 B.C., the law was given. Paul said that we are dead to the law. Paul said that they that are under the law are under the curse. All right, we come down here, and I find in here Matthew through John in here. And in this time, Jesus Christ is preaching the kingdom message. And in Matthew chapter 19, he said to a man that asked him, what must I do to have eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. And yet the Bible tells me very clearly that an individual over here who is trying to keep the commandments to gain eternal life is condemned, going to end up in hell. You got to, hey folks, there ain't no possible way that you could be saved. There ain't any possible way you could worship God if you don't believe in rightly by the word. Because what you'd do, you would apply one verse against another and make them contradict one another. Jesus Christ died at Calvary. We come to the book of Acts out here. Acts 2:38. repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Mark 16, go and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And yet Paul over here said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, then baptism couldn't possibly be in Paul's gospel over here. So there's no possible way then that you can submit to Acts 2:38 and Mark 16 and at the same time accept the gospel presented through the Apostle Paul and get saved. It won't work. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Those who refuse to rightly divide the word of truth are not worshiping God. They're not submitting to the word of God in the first place. They receive honor from among men. You cannot worship God unless you rightly divide the word. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, there's no possible way that an individual saved by grace through faith in the dispensation of grace can claim the passage here. In Romans chapter 6, verse... Romans 3. I'll get right in a minute, beloved. You know, I'm using the wrong tone when I use that, aren't I? Beloved. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house. Condition. Whose house are we if we hold the fast, the confidence, and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end? Come to verse 14. For we are partakers of Christ, condition, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now you can't claim 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and claim Hebrews 3, 6, and 14 at the same time. Absolute contradiction. Therefore, to worship God, you must rightly divide the word. Now the last thing today, and I'm going to take more time with this probably. Those who refuse to submit to the truth of Ephesians 5 do not worship God. Now make no mistake about it. That's the reason I went through all that business about submitting to the Word of God, submitting to the truth. Those who do not believe in submitting to Ephesians 5 do not worship God. Turn there, please. Ephesians 5. Now we got along real good up to now. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly, it has to do with like a target in mind. In other words, you go to work in the morning, you go to work for a job, for a purpose. You've got a purpose in mind as to why you're going and punching that clock, and you have a purpose in mind and why you're doing what you're doing, okay? Then your daily walk for the Lord is to be with a purpose in mind. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we go. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then if you do not believe in submission one to another in the body of Christ today, you are not worshiping God. Now, I don't know how I can get this through to you today. I'm probably going to totally fail, but the Word of God won't have failed. Submitting yourselves one to another. Turn, please, to Romans and look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. For, now please observe, not thinking of yourself too high is based upon the fact of verse 4. For, as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many in one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In other words, every member in your body has a service to perform. And without one member of your body is incomplete, and yet the church, which is the body of Christ, is the fullness of Christ. In other words, the church in here is Christ's fullness. Without one member in the end over here, there is no fullness. Now listen to me. If I take a jar here, a gallon jar, and I take water, and I begin to pour that water in there, there comes a point there that that jar is full. When that jar is full, I can flip one drop out of there, and it isn't full. You understand? The church, which is his body, is the fullness of Christ. If you discount one, you're not worshiping God. Submit yourselves one to another. Denominationalism just went right down the drain. There can be no such thing as denominationalism, and have the truth of Ephesians 5:21 and Romans chapter 3, verse 3, 12, verse 3 and 4. It is an impossibility. In fact, you can't think of yourself more highly than those others. And to call yourselves by the name of Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and on, is to exalt yourself above those that don't go under the same name you go under. Submit yourselves one to another. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians. I look in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I realize that in this age we're living in today of philosophy, philosophizing, psychology, physiology, I realize that there are men today with the capability of proving anything they want to prove and make people believe in that. There's a man here in Pensacola, Florida right now that he has the ability, because of psychology, that he can take anything in this Bible he wants and make the people in his school believe he wants believe in what he wants them to believe in, whether it's right or it's wrong. He got that ability. But folks, you cannot believe the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, and do that. You can't do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse, let's go to verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Now the point here is then, I must consider all the members of the body. You see, all the members in my body consider the other members in my body, and there's no way that I'm intentionally going to lay my thumb down out there and take a hammer and hit it. No way am I going to get my hand over here to take that hammer and do that. In fact, the business, for me to commit hair carry, I'd got to get high on something. I mean, no way am I going to take a sword and lay that sword on the floor and stick it in my gut and fall on that. That's like some people that, are trying to get them to confess a certain thing that they don't want to confess, and they're talking, 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 but he can't get the words out. You can't get one member of your body to condemn the rest of the members of your body. You need all the members of your body. Therefore, since when can you say that you love the Lord and yet you would do things in life every day that would cause other members of his body to stumble and have pain? Come on, folks. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the fullness of Christ. How can you trample over and walk over the members of the body of Christ to fulfill your lust and desires in this life and say you're worshiping God? Well, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping the flesh, fulfilling the lust of your flesh, and with your egotistical pride, you are like a child that falls down on the floor and kicks and screams until he gets what he wants. Oh yeah, you want it your way, and you're going to have it your way if it ruins everybody else. So it ain't none of their business what I do. Well, it is somebody else's business. That's just like drunkenness. People say, none of your business if I get drunk. It isn't any of my business if you get drunk in your own home and stay in there with the doors locked. But when you go out and get in 2 tons of automobile and start flying down that highway toward me and my family, that becomes some of my business. Now, make no mistake about it. At any time, now you listen to me, like John Wayne says, now you listen up and listen up good. Any time you teach things in your home that will cause my grandchildren to pick up on those things and end up in the filth and the gutters of this country, that's my business. Now, if you want to smoke pot behind closed doors somewhere, that's your business. But don't let nobody else know about it, because my kids may find out that you do that and they may follow your pattern. And I'll come over and punch you in the nose. You want to get drunk? Get drunk. But don't get out on the road with it. And folks, if you want to... Hey, you get the point. Submit yourselves one to another. You can't honor Christ if you don't honor the members of His body. You walk over the members of His body, you're walking over Him. You start messing with His members, you're messing with Him. And I would recommend you didn't do that. In fact, you know what will happen? Now, you listen to me. If a man got cancer, in fact, I just saw an article in the paper the other day that, what's the woman that sang God Bless America or something like that years ago? Kate Smith. I just saw, I didn't see why, but Kate Smith had a leg amputated, cut off. Now, if you had a disease in one of your legs and that disease is going through the whole body, then the answer to that is cut the leg off, is it not? Well, if there is a disease in you and that disease is going through the whole body of Christ, in other words, if the rest of the members of that body are going to start following your pattern and your teaching and whatever by practice, then maybe God Almighty will just put you in the hospital and cut that part out right there. Maybe He just cut you off. Now, hey, I don't know that, but I know it's practical. I know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said it's a man there that's practicing fornication, and it's like leaven going through the whole church, and he said the answer to that is turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I don't know how he did that, and I don't know how to do it now, but I know he said turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And I know that if I had cancer in my little finger there, the answer to that is, if it can't be stopped any other way, if it's going to come up and consume my whole hand, then take the finger off. Now, you see, there are some people that they won't submit. And therefore, they don't care about Christ. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 10. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In other words, Paul went through what he went through for the members of the body of Christ. Turn please to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, notice in verse 2, Romans 15 verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, the edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't have his way about everything. He fell on his face out there in that Garden of Gethsemane and prayed 3 hours. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And in effect, the Father said, there is no way that I can save them out there. There's no way that I can have mercy on them unless you drink that. And he said, thy will be done and not mine.
You can't say that you're following Christ and serving Christ when you antagonistically and with pride and a haughty spirit say, I'm going to do this no matter what. You're sure is this world not like Christ? Christ, submitting himself to God the Father, didn't get his own way, refused to have his own way, and suffered for you. Are you willing to suffer for others? Well, I ain't talking about going to Lower Slobovia as a missionary. I'm talking about in your own home. Live for the Lord for other people. Not walk over them, not slander the Lord in front of them and cause them to stumble, but live your life the best possible way because you love them in the Lord. You don't want to hurt them to have your own way. You cannot say that you're worshiping God and refuse to submit to Ephesians 5. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Well then, wives, you can't say that you're worshiping the Lord and refusing to submit to your husband, and if you say that, you're either ignorant or lying. Now, I mean, come on, folks, let's just tighten up our girdle, you know, about ourselves and get this thing straight. You can't do it. Some loudmouthed, rebellious woman that says, on no way am I going to submit to him. You don't know him like I do. I don't care anything about that. God said the man is the head of the woman, and that settles it. And he said, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, that brings up an idea. Oh, boy, I mean, that opens up a lot of avenues, don't it? Now, you just need to think about this. Any time in this modern age of ours that two people live together without marriage must submit to the passage. Now, you get the picture. You know a woman that is living with a man outside of wedlock, then let her come to the place that she can do what verse 22 says. Now, you think about that. That's happening all over today. Boy, I mean, that's the thing today. I mean, they don't need to get married. We'll just live together. And so they live together until finally they get tired of that, and then they separate and go somewhere else. Real marriage in the eyes of God is when two people are submitted one to another. I make no mistake about it. And if you are not willing to accept verse 22 and 23 in the case of the man, then you're living in adultery. Come on, woman. I don't care who you are. If you're living in the home of a man and you won't submit to that man and do what God told you to do, you're living in adultery. A married woman is a submitted woman. I mean, the Bible refers to her as his wife, possessive, if you please. Turn back, please, to Genesis and look in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3, I look at verse 16. Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now that's clear. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Any woman that you know of today that is living with a man that is not willing to that man to rule over her and is not submitted to that man is living in adultery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and look in verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. let your women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak. They're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now listen, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. It is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. In other words, any woman and man that's living together today outside of wedlock, that woman has to come to the position that God Almighty places her in the Bible, so that she's submitted unto that man, so that she goes to that man for her information from Almighty God. And if she's living with a man out there today, and he doesn't know anything about God, how's she going to learn about God? Where is all the ahas and the amens? Now, did I touch a sore spot somewhere? Why, surely not. You cannot say that you're worshiping God, submitting to God, and not submitting to the truth of Ephesians chapter 5. There are a lot of people living in adultery in this world today that refuse, absolutely, belligerently refuse, the woman to submit to the man, and the man to do what God said in the next verse. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 again, please. You see, I believe in common law marriages. I don't believe you have to go to a preacher somewhere, or a notary, or this and that and the other, and have them say pretty words over you to you to be married. I believe that marriage, according to this Bible, is when two people with love and devotion for one another come together in submission to one another, as the Bible says. And if they're just living together to fulfill the lust of their flesh, then they're not doing what they said, and that's adultery. Any way you slice it, it's adultery. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, if the man is, if he loves the woman the way Christ loved the church, and his intent is to present the woman unto himself, as he said there, then for goodness sake, what does he fear about standing in front of the public and saying, I now accept this woman as my lawfully wedded wife? Do you all understand what I'm talking about? Why would he hesitate to tell the whole world if that was what he had in his mind? In other words, if he's going to give himself to this woman and he's going to train her, he's going to do what God said, and presented to himself as Christ presented the church to himself, and whatever, why not say, she's my wife, folks. We're married, folks. I mean, why not? But oh no, when he won't do that, and he's hesitant to do that, as they used to say, it's a nick in the woodpile somewhere. Something rotten in Denmark. He got something else in mind. You can bet your little booties on it. I mean, he just fulfilled the lust of his flesh, and that's it. The motive is the thing, see? It's the motive. Turn, please, to Hebrews and look in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. In Hebrews 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, 4, the Bible said, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Well, then you tell me, if there's somebody that's saved today and they're in Christ and they know him as their Lord and Savior and they're living together in adultery, will God judge them? Now you have to think about that a while. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what this Bible said. Turn please to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, there's no need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible said, whatsoever you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him the glory thereof. Colossians 3:23 basically says the same thing. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I look at verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Now you try that for a while. Why should two people be married to avoid fornication? Well, if they're living in fornication, then you see what he's already done? To avoid that, get married, verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, every woman have her own husband. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. In other words, that's kindness, it's goodwill, it's that which is rightfully hers, the opposite of stinginess. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. In other words, then, if two people are living together, and if they are rightfully in the eyes of God married, then they do not belong to themselves. The man belongs to the woman, and the woman belongs to the man. Do they not? Well, then he can't just run off and leave her any time he gets ready, and she can't break up and run off and leave him when she gets ready. Amen? And if you can do that, you're just living in adultery, and that's just all there is to it. And so I go back. Marriage, then, has to do with absolute and total submission one to another in the fear of God. Wives, be under subjection to your husband. A woman is not married to a husband that isn't subject to him. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. And a man who does not intend to do that with a woman, when he comes together with her, whether it's common law or whatever else it is not marrying that woman in the eyes of God. Marriage is submission to. It's submission to God in the first place. It's submission one to another in the second place.
If two people are living together and they have them submitted to Ephesians chapter 5 and those other passages, my advice for you to tell them is to get them a judge or a preacher or whatever needs to be that they be married legally, or else get out. For they are living in adultery, and God said that he would judge adulterers. Worship. You're not worshiping God if you refuse to submit to the Word of God. Thank you for being here this morning.